complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. That he may open up to us aright the sacred word of the Scriptures. As your prayerful attention by way of text, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, and the last words of verse 4. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, the last words of verse 4. So I prayed to the God of heaven. So I prayed to the God of heaven. The whole verse reads, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. It's perhaps interesting to note that in the Jewish scriptures there is no book of Nehemiah. It's all a continuation of the book of Ezra. For the time of Nehemiah was a continuation in the time of the restoration of Judah after their captivity. That restoration took quite a number of years. Dear friends, when we look at the scriptures, it is sometimes a benefit to look at the context. We read at the restoration of Jerusalem, the restoration of Jews to Jerusalem in the days of Zerubbabel, and the 42,000 who came with him back from Babylon and the area of the Babylonian area. They sought at first to build the altar, which they did, for sacrifice to God. And they built the temple, although it was difficult and it took quite a number of years because of the hindrance, until Zechariah and Haggai, the prophets, strengthened them through the word of the Lord, and the Spirit of God came upon them. It was many kings, and time later, when Ezra returned from Babylon, to be a priest to them, an expert in the law. And from historical records of the Medes and the Persians, the time seems to be of the order of 70 years. The temple was already built when Ezra returned. And it was the order of 20 years later, before Nehemiah returned, to build the walls of Jerusalem. So from the time of Zerubbabel's return to the time of Nehemiah was the order of 90 years. And if you look back to when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem, which was 70 years before that, because of the captivity was 70 years, that's the order of 160 years from when Nebuchadnezzar entered Jerusalem, that the walls had been broken down and the gates burned with fire and everything left derelict, to when we read of the book of Nehemiah. That's equivalent in our day of something coming destroyed, derelict in 1865. Should I say 18... Yes, old of 1865, my math's just correctly wrong, but of that order. And only just going to be restored. So we can see the great burden that laid upon Nehemiah when he had this great exercise to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem. He was born in captivity. Now, dear friends, it's also interesting to know that between Ezra and the time of Nehemiah was probably the time of Esther the Queen. When the Jews were threatened to be destroyed by that dreadful man Haman. Oh, how the Lord was watching over his people, even though the time was long. And dear friends, the Lord works the same things today. Our time is always ready. But oh, as we look at the scriptures, the time, the length of times between the beginning and the continuation and perhaps the conclusion of a matter, that time can be very, very long. But we have to commend ourselves, don't we, and trust in the Lord day by day for his continued favours and benefits, protection, love and mercy upon us. And although Nehemiah was born in the place of captivity, no doubt born after Zerubbabel had returned to Jerusalem, he knew the scriptures. Those Jews in the captivity, they had their feasts, their solemn feasts. They were fastings as they remembered certain days of the dreadful time of the destruction of Jerusalem and that what had taken place. And it is quite clear that Nehemiah, although he had never seen Jerusalem, he mourned for that which had taken place, through that which he'd been taught, through that which he had read, of what the Lord would do if the children of Israel forsook the commands, the statutes and the judgments. He'd been told concerning his forefathers and their sepulchres that were in that place. And dear friends, Nehemiah was given an exercise to go and restore Jerusalem. The building of the walls, the restoring of the gates, to make it again a defence city physically, but also through the power of God and his mercy upon them. Now, this wasn't Nehemiah's natural desire. Nehemiah had grown up, born in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. His natural education was there. He had obviously done very well and succeeded because he'd been promoted to a high office as the cupbearer to the actual king, King Artaxerxes at that time. In fact, being a cupbearer was a very high office because the king depended upon the cupbearer for his loyalty, even for his life. For there's many people ready to poison and do injury and death to the kings of the various countries. It was the cupbearer's duty to taste the wine first to make sure it was good wine so that the king may be able to drink it. And for such a responsibility, Nehemiah would have enjoyed great affluence. We find him here in Shushan, the palace, living in luxury compared to many others who lived outside. And dear friends, it would have been Nehemiah's natural desire to continue in such affluence and earthly desire and earthly delicacies as he had. But dear friends, the Lord had a purpose for Nehemiah. The Lord gave Nehemiah a burning exercise in his heart to restore Jerusalem, the building of the walls from the gates. And this time came when his brother Hanani and certain men of Judah came to where Shushan was. And Nehemiah asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. What was their current state, or the last state which Hanani's brother and these had seen it in? They said, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Oh, the effect of this news, this report, upon Nehemiah's heart. It broke him down. He sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Dear friends, this was a God-given exercise to Nehemiah. And it was something, dear friends, so great was the exercise that he could not get up immediately and do what was upon his heart. Before he could fulfill this exercise within him, placed by the Lord, there was a time of preparation. That preparation was prayer. Read thou that his brother Hanani came in the month Chislu. I don't know if you children know the Jewish calendar, but Chislu is now. Really from the middle of November, our November, to the middle of December. It was this season of the year they came. And Nehemiah was in prayer for 3 months before he stood before the king of our text. In those 3 months, he mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Dear friends, when we have an exercise which is of the Lord in our hearts, it won't let us go. It may start very small, but it'll build up. And it'll be a great prayerful exercise. How did Nehemiah pray? He prayed concerning the sins of Judah, even the sins of his own kinsfolk. I and my father have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly. We have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. And dear friends, when we read here of Nehemiah's prayer, it was very similar to when Daniel prayed at the end of the 70 years, confessing the sins of Judah and the promises of God, that if we turn unto thee and keep thy commandments and do them, thou hast said, though that there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now you read in Daniel when he prayed, those were almost identical words. So those people in captivity, they knew these prayerful exercises, that the Lord would return them. And now Nehemiah, with this great exercise of heart, that the Lord would return him. Not with a great number as it was with Zerubbabel, or a large number as it was with Ezra, but himself, a personal exercise. O Lord, let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. I was the king's cupbearer. Dear friends, this exercise of the Lord upon Nehemiah's heart. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Also, what we read here of Nehemiah is very similar to what we read of Moses' words of God in the book of Deuteronomy, where the Lord promised to restore Israel when they sinned against him. So I prayed to the God of heaven. And for 3 months, dear friends, that continued. And that day came when he had to go and again take the cup of wine to give to the king. That was in the month Nisan, which is our March-April time, the same year of the king, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now, I had not been beforehand sad in his presence. Dear friends, when the wine before the kings of those days, they were days of feastings and jubilation, and everyone was expected to be of the same disposition. Not to be of the same disposition could lead to some severe consequences. But Nehemiah's heart was cast down because of the state of his people of Jerusalem, a state on account of their sins, and the exercise that he should go and be with the Lord's help as restorer of that place. And as he handed the cup to the king, no doubt having first tasted it to make sure it was good wine, the king noticed that he was sad. He'd never been sad before. Why art thou sad? This is no more, he says, than sorrow of heart, because thou art not sick. And I was very sore afraid. That doesn't what mean just very afraid. That means very extremely afraid. What would the king do? He belonged to the king. He was the servant of the king. He had to bathe in it completely as the king commanded, or the consequences were very severe. How could he declare why he was sad? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Dear friends, that wasn't 3 months of prayer, was it? These were the urgent, pressing case immediately for the Lord's help. Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, save me from this man. Lord, help me to speak. He didn't have to utter these words from his lips, did he? It was in his heart, through fear. Fear of man, but dependence upon God. And Nehemiah was given the strength to declare exactly why he was sad. The king said unto me then, for how long shall thy journey be? Nehemiah declared that his people of Judah, the city of his fathers and the sepulchres, are broken down, and may I go to build it. And the king gave him permission. How long? Oh, dear friends, you know, when the exercises of the Lord and the complete dependence is upon the Lord, then those who may stand in the way that are a great hindrance to the fulfilling of that exercise, their minds and their thoughts and their words and their will is in the hand of God. Nothing is too hard for him. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what one asks or thinks. And so it was with Nehemiah, wasn't it? Not only was he given permission to go, but he asked for letters to be given to help him as he made the long journey from Shushan all the way to Jerusalem, many, many hundreds of miles. The provision would be made for him from the governors on the river, on the way, that's the river Euphrates, which he had to cross. And that letters were given to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may have materials for the doors and whatever was needed. And the Lord commanded Artaxerxes to give all that Nehemiah had asked for, according to the good hand of my God upon me, he said. According to the good hand of my God upon me. Dear friends, what do we learn from these accounts? What benefit is there of them for us? You know, God is the same God yesterday. God is the same God from the beginning of creation to the end of time. He's a holy God. He's a God of mercy as well as of judgment. And dear friends, where the Lord places an exercise in the hearts and minds of one of the people, one of his own people, dear friends, he will perform it. He will cause all things to come to pass. But don't say it's going to be easy. Oh, Nehemiah went. He went in the fear of the Lord, having been released by Artaxerxes. And when he came to Jerusalem, dear friends, oh, how he saw the great, as you might say, mountain of rubble that was there. The great burden that was now upon him. Naturally, one would say it was impossible, as many said it was impossible. But dear friends, the Lord helped him. He gathered the people together. And in the second chapter, if we'd have read further of chapter 2, he told them his exercise. And I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. As also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Dear friends, support through the testimony of the Lord's demand and will concerning one. Oh, it's vital, isn't it? That as we go about in various ways, oh, the benefit we have from the help of others who are willing to do that which is needful, that our exercise be fulfilled. But then there was the enemy. Those enmity of Sanballat and Tobiah. It came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spoke unto his brothers and the army of Samaria, what do these feeble Jews? And they threatened to come to destroy them. What did Nehemiah do? He prayed. He prayed unto the Lord his God. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach unto their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity, nor their sin. Oh, he prayed to the Lord to continue, and so we built the wall, as they depended upon the Lord for their help. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them, because of their intentions. Dear friends, they persevered. And oh, that as you might say, miracle, that the walls and the gates were restored in 3 months. Impossible with man, but possible with God. The same as it had been with Zerubbabel in building the temple. Not by might, nor by not by might, but by my spirit, saith your God. So, dear friends, these instructions we find from these accounts, are they applicable to us? Oh, they ought to be. In all our ways. It can be, dear friends, that we are like Nehemiah. We love the word of God. We've been taught the word of God. We've attended the worship of God. And we can mourn over the state of the Church of Christ in our day. And dear friends, that will be a cause of concern for us, won't it? Prayerful concern. But for Nehemiah, a chosen vessel of God, dear friends, that cause and concern became a great exercise of his heart, that he should be used to restore it. Friends, it may be the exercise of some today, whether here or elsewhere, we do not know. But dear friends, as I'm preaching here, well, I do not know what exercise are in your hearts. Has the Lord begun some exercise, some prompting within of what the Lord would have you to do for the honour and glory of his name? It may begin as a very, very small a consideration, something you try to put down, something you try to hide. But it won't be hidden. It builds up. As you read the word of God, perhaps the Lord applies that word stronger, till it becomes a great exercise in your heart and you know this is what you must do. But you haven't got the strength to do it. Your will is not to do it. But you are constrained. Oh, to fall before the Lord. To pray. To pray earnestly. Now, Nehemiah, we will read of prayer and fasting. Now, our fasting, dear friends, is not to be the injury of our bodies. But it's the fasting in prayer is to put that first, which is the most uppermost thing of the Lord's will concerning us. Yes, there is the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, that's a vital need, isn't it, continually? And then in the practical aspects of our lives, what that the Lord's will shall be done concerning ourselves, especially where that exercise has been laid upon our hearts. And dear friends, in the due time, for Nehemiah it was 3 months, it can be any time, but in due time, it has to be declared, that exercise of your heart, which the Lord has put there. It's not your own. You have to confess that wasn't my will. It's not my own thoughts. It's what the Lord would have me to do. And you must declare it to that which is to set you in the way which the Lord has called you to go. It may be a separation from maybe occupation. There become a change of the affluence in your life in which you live. There may be coming changes where you cannot attend to things as you once did in the natural aspects of life. Dear friends, you have to go praying unto the Lord in great fear. But, dear friends, you have the promise. The Lord will supply all your need. He will not leave nor forsake. He that hath begun this work, he will perform it with you. And, dear friends, in that exercise and that fear, as you cry unto him for that help, when that exercise is declared, oh, the Lord's mercy as he makes the way plain, makes a way where there seems to be no way. The mountain, as it were, flows down at his presence. And you're set free then to take those steps in fulfillment of that exercise which he has laid upon you. You see, dear friends, with this great exercise, is prayer all the way through, isn't it? A prayerful exercise. Prayerful for the promulgation of it. And then there's to be prayer in the perseverance of it. Or to take then those steps. You have to pray earnestly how you'll go about it, won't you? What a help where you find support from one and another. What a hurt and hindrance it is when you find those that are against you. What do we read in Nehemiah? He continued in prayer. So we made our prayers unto the Lord God. What wisdom he needed. Dear friends, he continued in the fear of the Lord. The fear that compelled him to commit all his way unto him. When those enemies rose against him, he discerned their treachery and their subtlety to destroy the work he was doing. And he said, so did not I, because of the fear of God. What wisdom was given unto him? Oh, there was one time when there was a great subtle, I think if I could just drop on it, a great subtle thing of Sanballat. They wanted to meet him in the temple and shut the doors and discuss these things. And he discerned their wickedness. Oh, the wisdom of God which is needed, isn't it? Not to turn about from the word of God and the exercise he's given you to do. To persevere. They that persevere, they that endure, the scripture says, unto the end, the same shall be saved. And how does one endure? So I pray to the God of heaven. Dear friends, it's not only some great exercise that may be given to you for the benefit of the Church of Christ and the glory of his name. It may be through your great exercise in the obedience of his word, the revealed will of God. Or you're living comfortably. You have your affluence. You have your contentment. You have your needs supplied day by day. Yes, you pray unto the Lord. You read his word. And you're content in the way the Lord is permitting you to go. But within you, there's that beginning of an exercise of, oh, for a closer walk with God. Have we not just sung it? Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and a heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb, that light comes. What did we also sing in that hymn? About the world leaves an empty void. All the things as an empty void the world can never fill. And dear friends, there's that earnest desire to obey the word of God in accordance with his sovereign will, his statutes, his commandments, his precepts. Even the words of Jesus. All the truth, dear friends, are contained in those gospels. We do pray, don't we? We do pray earnestly that the Lord will lead us aright. Jesus is quite clear to follow him. My sheep, they hear my voice. There's the exercise. And they follow me. And dear friends, in following him, we have to pray earnestly for the health, for the help and the strength, the obedience to that which he has laid upon us. And we don't just have to wait. Don't have to wait for further confirmations or whatever it is. Oh, we've just heard of a friend from Harpenden Bethesda going down to the care home at Brighton in 91 years of old. He's had to testify of the Lord's mercy to his soul. He had to come in at that time when he feared to declare the exercise of his heart, just as he was, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, or the answer to his prayer. Dear friends, these things are real. And if we're to have an exercise regarding the Church of Christ and the strengthening of it, these things are to be attended to. But dear friends, it also may be some other aspects of our lives. Perhaps in our business, in our neighbourhood, in friendships. Things, dear friends, which press upon us. Matters which are wrong, they've got to be put right. And the word of the Lord is strong within us. That those matters, those strifes, those divisions, those difficulties, they can't continue as they are. We must seek peace. We must put the matters right. But dear friends, that exercise is for the peace and prosperity and the witness that you are the Lord's, and for the answer that he hears and answers your prayers, that you are his and he is thine. Dear friends, have to be pursued in prayer. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. Provide for me. And the time comes when you perhaps have to take action. And you fear. Oh, what's the outcome going to be? I'm now, as we often hear the expression, put one heads above the parapet. And you fear the worst, but no. As Nehemiah did, so I prayed. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Lord, provide for me. Lord, open the way. And with Nehemiah he did. And dear friends, if you've got that godly fear exercise in your heart regarding any matter, then dear friends, he will help you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, I will help thee. I will hold thee by thy right hand. I am the Lord thy God. Oh, dear friends, to walk in the ways of the Lord as he exercises our hearts. You know, when matters have to be put right, we may have to do things which is not of our own will. The word says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, what doth he require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Humbly. That's not of our nature, really, is it, to walk humbly when we have to submit, perhaps to things which we don't like or are not completely wrong, completely right. But, in the overcoming of them, to humble ourselves in some way, perhaps to take some hurt, maybe some financial loss or whatever it might be, but to humble ourselves unto God that there may be a peace that may bring about the removal of any animosity, difficulties and trouble. Our wisdom is of God. And we have to commit all our way unto him. Trust also in him, for him to bring it to pass. Nehemiah, he called upon the Lord in the day of his trouble. The Lord delivered him, and he glorified God. What's the last words of Nehemiah? Did he ever come to anything where he could not do without God? No. Those last words of Nehemiah chapter 12. No, chapter 13, sorry. Remember me, O my God, for good. Remember me, O my God, for good. Nehemiah's beginning in the exercise of his heart was through prayer unto God. His exercise, the fulfilling of it, all that he passed through, continued through prayer unto God. And the answers which came down from the heights of glory to help him in that way. And when all was finished, the walls were built, and they put right many things which were wrong in the behaviour of the Jews within Jerusalem. His cry was still, remember me. Remember me, O my God, for good. Oh, dear friends, these things are left on record for our learning. That we, through the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Then, dear friends, trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us to obey his voice and all his will esteem. Amen.